It's the Burt Cohen Show. American history has been filled with a lot of, shall we say, not the best relations and treaties and understandings between the European white settlers and the people who were here first and who still are here. Native Americans, also known as Indians, and it goes on and on and on. Now, the genocide seems to have stopped, but there's still a lot going on with regard to the various rights of Native American nations. And today we're going to talk about water rights and Navajo and Hopi and a couple of U.S. senators, oddly enough, Republicans. Who'd have thunk it? Our guest today on the Burt Cohen Show, I'm very pleased to have Marshall Johnson. Marshall, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir, for having me on.
Well, Marshall is co-founder of, and I know I'm not going to pronounce this right, Tonisoni Ani. What does that mean?
Tonisoni Ani is, we have a aquifer, a pristine aquifer that's an ice age aquifer that underlies our homeland, Black Mesa, and encompasses quite a bit of land area, and of this spring, of this water, it produces, it used to produce on the spring where we did our offerings, and we use it for as our own sole source of drinking water. What it means is Tonizone, the sacred water speaks, is what it means.
The sacred water speaks. Well, it's, it certainly does. And Marshall Johnson is known as an indigenous grassroots organizer, union iron worker, and he's been at the forefront of the grassroots environmental movement on Navajo land. Well, what brings us to today's discussion is something called Senate Bill 2019. Tell us about that bill. What does it do to Navajo and Hopi food and water sovereignty? Tell us about Senate Bill 2019, please.
Well, it's a settlement that was introduced in the House on February the 14th of this year, and what it's says in the settlement is that we're going to settle on a settlement that it's related to the Little Colorado River, which is a in the lower basin of the Colorado River, and this is a tributary to the Colorado River, and so this river is used by many other parties. And back in the earlier stages of this settlement, or this claim was made by Phil Dodge, and so, and that the it was then seen as you know, the settler was going to claim this water, but the Navajo tribe and Hopi tribe intervened and also made their claims to this river, so that it went to the court cases, and now they've come back was presented by Senator Kyle and Senator McCain of the state of Arizona to make the settlement, and in which they are saying is that they're going to give us some water off of this settlement, and in their presentation, Mr. Senator Kane brought in a poster board picture of an old picture that was of the early, maybe mid 1900s, when our people were hauling 55-gallon barrels in their horse-drawn wagons, and that's what it portrayed. Mm-hmm. And he told in his presentation, he said, "We are still hauling our waters in those 55-gallon barrels in horse-drawn wagons," and telling in his presentation, he was telling it and presenting it that we still haul our waters in that manner, in which we do not. And so he gave this presentation saying that we have no ways of bringing water to our home beyond that, just the horse-drawn wagon, still up to this day, which is not true. We have vehicles now. We have trailer beds that we haul if we need to, we haul them in these containers to our homeland. And the infrastructure is low to have running water to our homeland, but still, we still continue to those remote areas. We have to haul them in either a pickup truck or a half-ton pickup truck, or however big the vehicle can carry our waters, in a flatbed or a trailer, utility trailers to our home. So that was portrayed in that manner. And so this bill is saying that we're going to give up our rights to the river, and then in place of that, they're going to drill two wells for us, Navajo, and then one well for the Hopis. So then in that, that's one part of it. The other part of it is there's a settlement that was done in 2004 in the Gila River, southern Arizona, and is also a settlement from the Colorado River. In that settlement, the Navajos were given 6,411 acre-feet of water. In that settlement, another settlement went through, which was the San Juan, and that San Juan River settlement is in New Mexico. And in the New Mexico, there is a town called Gallup. In that, they're going to run a pipeline to that town, that community. So from that pipeline, they're going to get that 6,411 acres to go into our central government, which is located northeast Arizona, and provide water for our town, Window Rock. So to agree to that, we will have to agree to continue the operation of the Navajo Generating Station. In that, there's a legislation that came from the Department of Interior in 1969 that to waiver the Navajo, that the Navajo Nation will waiver their rights for 50 years to 50,000 acre feet of the Colorado River. That's the upper basin. And so should we get the 6,411 acres from the pipeline, the Gallup Line water pipeline, then we will have to waiver the 50,000 acre feet again into 2044. So this is all within the settlement agreement that they've presented and is over here in Navajo right now, in which we have seen a lot of waivers and of any injuries that have taken place that we know of. Like the Navajo Generating Station is using the coal that's being mined on Black Mesa, mm-hmm. and the water that they use for that mining operation is at the Navajo Aquifer, and which is the Ice Age aquifer that we use until the point it's been overdrafted, and a lot of our springs are not producing. So we have to just rely on these community wells to provide water for our home, our homes and our livestock and our cornfields. So this is it's going to waiver any injuries that we're saying that it's been it's overdrafted, and there's material damage that have taken place to this moment. And so we are actually agreeing to 6,400 acre feet to allow the continuation of this mining, continuation of the Annapolis Generating Station to operate, and any injuries that we say that we're proclaiming that it has done, it's going to let them off on all that. So yeah, the language is not in the interest of the Navajo people. It's in the interest of the corporate interest.
What a surprise. The corporate interests creating laws that benefit themselves. We're talking with Marshall Johnson, and where you're with the Navajo, and where within, I presume you're within the current state of Arizona, is that right?
I'm sorry, again.
I'm
sorry, I'm not hearing.
Oh, sorry. You're in Arizona right now, is that right?
I'm on Black Mesa, Arizona right now, yes.
Okay. And we're talking about the potential effects on water and access to water. And you mentioned early on about Phelps Dodge. And I know, you know, that rings a bell for me. And there's something really negative in my recollection about Phelps Dodge. Are they a coal company, or what is a little bit of their history, and how does that relate to the water situation today?
Well, I know he's, from little I know of him, he's done quite a bit of mining of copper in the southern state of Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And he has, as of my knowledge, not done any coal mining.
Mm-hmm.
Because the coal in our region is being, was first agreed to with Century Coal Company in 1964, and then of course the predecessors of them is Peabody Coal Company, which are mining here on Black Mesa right now.
And they seem to have a significant influence with your two Republican senators now. The settlement that happened in 1969, it was for, correct me if I'm wrong, it was for 50 years. And so in the year 2019, what technically would happen? That would be 50 years after. The Navajo and Hopi would regain access to that water? Or what were you hoping would happen at the end of that 50-year period, which is coming up?
That's a very important date. That's our time to reclaim our waters to the 50,000 acre feet. And now let's remember this. We are the original, as the opening comments you made on our behalf. We, as Diné Navajo, we emerged here. We emerged here, and our stories of our emerges is within our sacred mountains that encircles us. We emerged here. So in the Catholic claiming of islands and lands throughout the world, they've used that doctrine of discovery. And so if you take back and use that on our behalf, we've made our doctrine of discovery when we emerged here. And so we have original rights to our homelands, and so that any surface water, subsurface water, is originally ours, and we have inherited rights to that, and so that was never used in any of our on our behalf to this day. And so there's a court case that happened in Montana, in Fort Belknap. There was a settler that wanted to claim the waters that was coming from the mountains. And so the United States went to court on the behalf of the indigenous tribes. And so that clearly spoke on our behalf, as the United States have said that we have prior rights, we have reserve rights first, then to the settler. So that clearly states it in the Supreme Court. So that's not being used in this settlement. There's no language in this settlement pertaining to that. So in 2019, we can have the 50,000 acre feet back. So that's the part where we're not understanding, as the Navajo Nation government is the way they have agreed to the settlement. We have an executive office in Wind Rock that's agreeing to this settlement, and so that in that area it's not being they're not looking at the 2019 date, or that we have original rights, or that we have inherited and first priority rights. So if we can come and have that perspective, and this can speak more on our behalf than what that settlement is saying right now.
And the settlement agreement, that was the agreement, again, correct me if I'm wrong, that happened in 1969, or is it something different from that? And perhaps you can tell us about what that settlement agreement was. My understanding was that it would deny the Navajo the economic market value of their water rights and kind of force them into perpetual dependence on uncertain federal funding for any future water projects. Is that accurate?
Well, we have entitlement to these waters. It is the boundaries of the northern the Colorado River is the boundaries of the northern boundaries of our reservation and the western boundaries of our reservation. Mm-hmm. To this moment in time, there has been no quantification. There has been no claim put forth by our Department of Justice of Navajo. So clearly we are inadequately represented in Washington. So yes, there could be plenty ways that we could use for agribusiness. There's plenty ways we could use for economic development. But what the state and Department of Interior is saying is that should this settlement go through, should the settlement be agreed upon, it's going to help and benefit the Navajo people in ways that hasn't benefited us to now. So there's a misunderstanding of how this is being presented.
I see that there's not universal agreement. Hopi Chairman Leroy Shingotewa, if I pronounce that right, said he supports the plan. Yeah. Now, why would that be?
You know, that's puzzling to us, too. We know that their waters are contaminated in the mesas. And so, and then we're here just maybe 20 miles north of there. Our springs aren't producing as they did before. Mm-hmm. It's the same group of people that had come to Umagridge and did their offerings at the spring that I was raised by, called Twadadita. That spring is not producing anymore. And there was another spring just up the valley here, Cliff Spring, and that's not producing anymore likewise. And they offered to those springs too. And so they would pilgrimage up here. This is prior to mining, pre-mining. And they would come up here and they would bring up fruit with them, any farm goods, and then we would trade and give them in return, like sheep, mutton, or beef in return. So we traded like that, and we did get along. But mining is what put the dispute between us. And I'm not understanding why he's still agreeing, or he's agreeing to the settlement when it talks about we're gonna waiver our rights, we're gonna waiver the uses that we could have off the little Colorado River, and then it's also talking about allowing Peabody Mining, which have overdrawn aquifers, has material damage to aquifers. We're going to let them continue operation without violations. So this is what we're concerned of, and I don't know where he's picking up. Where he's reading it or he's understanding it differently. Mm-hmm. So that's a question I have too, yes.
Again, if you just tuned in, this is the Bert Cohen Show. Our guest today is Marshall Johnson, who is a grassroots organizer, and he's been at the forefront of environmental movement on Navajo land, and which is in the current state of Arizona. We're talking about Senate Bill 2019, which is put forth by Senators John Kyle and John McCain. Why are they doing this? I know when I was in the New Hampshire Senate, there wouldn't be a solution unless there were a problem. So what is this bill a solution to? What is Kyle and McCain's motivation? And perhaps, why are they doing this?
My understanding of it, Bert, is that they've had a comfortable lifestyle up to this moment of cheap power and water. Why, if you go back when the settlers came through, if you look at dates from Eastern New Mexico, Western New Mexico, Eastern Arizona, Western Arizona, into Eastern California. They did their settlements through there. And when they made those settlements, they've taken the rivers and the water supply of the native indigenous tribes that were living through there. And when they got to a point where their population expanded, they tapped the groundwater. So when they tapped the groundwater, they got to overdrafting the aquifer. By 1927, between Phoenix and Tucson, that was the first sign of an earth fissure. Earth fissure is when you overdraft an aquifer and the land will subside.
Oh, my.
It will open up on the surface. So that's when they got concerned. And so... So they've overdrafted their aquifers because they used majority of the water for agriculture. And by 1946, a group of people called the Central Arizona Project Association, lobbied their legislators to go to D.C. to see if they can, if there could be a surface water brought to them, to Phoenix and Tucson, mostly Phoenix. So this is where the whole operation, the planning of this operation began. And they were going to build two hydrologic dams in the Grand Canyon. So they're going to dam up the Grand Canyon so they can have hydrologic power to push the water from Lake Havasu into Central Arizona. But there was opposition from the Sahara Club. And so that's where they decision was to put a dam, a hydrologic dam, up on Glen Canyon Dam, which is now Lake Powell. So that was a compromise that was done by Stuart Udall, and then Hayden and Sierra Club. They said, we'll put the a dam up here in Glen Canyon Dam so we won't be dam up the Grand Canyon. So then by 1957, construction began to build that dam and was completed in 63. The Century came in 64 to do lease agreement for the coal and the water with the Navajo tribe. So it was done in 64 and 66. In 68, the Central Arizona Project was approved by Congress and approved by Lyndon B. Johnson. In 69, the Department of Interior's resolution came to the Navajo Tribal Council to waiver 50,000 acre feet. 34,100 of that water was used for the generating station. Uh-huh. It's now being used for the generating station, and which provides power to push the water from Lake Havasu to Phoenix to Tucson. It's a elevation incline, mm-hmm. 3,000 feet.
How many?
So this 3,000 feet elevation incline from uh-huh. Lake Havasu to Tucson. So it was used to push this water up into Phoenix and then into Tucson. Majority of this water today is being used. 80% of this water is used for agriculture. So they make billions off of this agriculture business down there. So they aggregate year round, and their number one produce when they make this happen was cotton. Cotton only grows in tropical areas. So up to now, this day, they use the water for hydroponic farming.
That's
who provides this water for them? So Navajo Generating Station was built in 73. And the power that the coal is being mined on Black Mesa, it's railed by electrical train from Black Mesa to Page. And so, and the water that's being used for this mining operation is used from the Navajo aquifer, pristine water, ice age water. It passes EPA standards for drinking water. And it's used for mining purposes.
Ooh.
Just to wet down for dust control on the haul roads. Now, if you look at this, there's a power plant that still exists now. And there was one that existed in Laughlin, Nevada. And there, it was being supplied to them of their pulverized coal by a slurry line,
mm-hmm.
which was being used. The groundwater of Black Mesa was used to slurry coal in a water pipeline 273 miles to a power plant in Laughlin, Nevada, mm-hmm. Mojave Generating Station. And so you have two operations that we supplied, our homeland, Black Mesa, supplied for electricity. So it would supply electricity to the state of Phoenix, to the city of Las Vegas, to the city of Los Angeles. And they have groundwater law, or they have water laws in the state of California, where they have a law that there's no industrial uses for with potable water.
Uh-huh.
But the power that they're receiving now is being supplied by ice age pristine water.
Wow.
And basically, what it comes down to is they've had this power and water that they almost don't know what to do with. and it doesn't cost anything, almost nothing. And then it's the electricity is they don't have to see the pollution that is emitted into their atmosphere.
Right.
And so up here, our aquifer is being depleted.
Right.
The air is being polluted. So we have to live in this with this kind of pollution.
Right.
And so the bottom line is, they've had cheap power and cheap water.
Uh-huh.
Today.
So it sounds like in order to continue cheap power, for specifically Phoenix and Tucson, they're requiring that the Navajo and Hopi subsidize that, I guess, really, and use, you know, potable water, terrific ice age water to support the generation of electricity through the use of coal and, you know, cheap electricity for the entire Southwest at the expense of the Navajo and Hopi. I'm reminded a bit of that movie from, I think it was the 1960s, the one with Jack Nicholson, Chinatown. The importance of water and the power, you know, the political power and money power that's behind it all can be very complicated and kind of ugly sometimes. What is it about, Marshall, what is it about Senator Kyle's relationship with the, you know, with the Navajo Generating Station? I understand Senator Kyle is an attorney for the Salt River Project, which has something to do with the Navajo Generating Station. I wonder if you could shed some light on that.
Well, from my understanding, he was previously the attorney for Salt River Project. It's an entity based in Tempe, Arizona. And then they are the operator of Navajo Generating Station. So who we have here is Bureau of Reclamation has majority owner. And then SRP... And then Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, then Arizona Public Services, Nevada Power, and then Tucson Electric Power. So you got six owners that's operating, that's part owners of the Navajo Generating Station. And SRP is the manager of this whole power plant. But the owner, majority owner, is Bureau of Reclamation. That's, remember this. And if you go to the Black Mesa Peabody Mining, the oversight regulator of that mining operation is off the surface mining. And so there, and then there's sediment ponds up there. So EPA looks after those ponds, and then Army of Engineers. And if you look at this whole picture, you know, the Department of Interior is the umbrella of all this Bureau of Reclamation, Army of Engineers, Office of Surface Mining, and then also is the owner of Central Arizona Project. It's a $4 billion project, the most expensive water project in the world.
Sounds like you're getting a little wind there.
Okay, yeah, I'm sitting in the wind, and let me take care of that real quick.
Much better.
So, I'm sorry, hold on a minute.
Yeah, we are talking with Marshall Johnson about Senate Bill 2019 put forward by John Kyle and John McCain of Arizona that appears to adversely affect water for Navajo and Hopi for the benefit of the Navajo Generating Station and providing cheap coal and cheap electricity for the Southwest using some really great potable water. Now, I wonder, Marshall, what is there transparency in the process, the decision-making here? How is this going to be moving forward, this Senate Bill 2019? Is it going to be a transparent, open process? Can the public participate in the decision-making and have some legitimate input?
Well, we've been left out of this settlement agreement conversation, which in many cases that has been the cases. Anytime there's a lease agreement, anytime the site agreements, and anything to do with power, the public is not fully informed or is not even mentioned in any negotiation. So that's been our complaint for many years. And so we have Department of Justice in our central government majority of the attorneys are foreign people. And then if you go to the minerals department, it's headed by another foreigner. And if you go to the water department, water resource, it's headed by a foreigner. And so there's no case, there's no place for our own people, even though we have educated, intelligent, well-educated people that don't have a place in our government to speak on our behalf. They come back, they get their education, they come back and return, and then they're told they don't have there's no employment here. So they have to go off of jobs, and they run in right to this moment. They run big corporate offices out there helping other people in their field. So we do have those educated persons, but as our central government is operating, we don't have those key people in the key offices. So, and that's very much needed. And so that's where we need to have our own people. And this settlement agreement talks nowhere on behalf of the people. Talks nowhere on what I'm saying on behalf of the people is we have offerings to these springs. We have offerings to these waterways to provide a good abundance of life. Springtime is the time when we make our pilgrimage to these springs or rivers and water bodies to make our offerings. And so we can have plentiful water, plentiful vegetation right. for our animals, plenty of moisture for our cornfields. So that is not, these agreements are not taught on that fashion. Is not taught on our behalf in that fashion. So we have spiritual, traditional people
right.
that speaks in those in that manner, in a sacred manner. But we are not at the table from that perspective. So yes, we as a public is not very informed on the details of the settlement, but. We know that our violation of our human rights is violated, and likewise our right of worship is violated. So those two areas we have a complaint on.
Now, so who is at the table? Who is actually participating in this decision-making process on changing the settlement? Who does get to participate? And any sense of what the timetable is, when all this, how quickly this will happen?
Well, I think there's a timeline that they gave to our tribal government is the end of May.
Wow, pretty quick.
Yes.
Why are they in such a hurry?
Well, they want, the way our water rights attorney of our Department of Justice water rights attorney is championing Senator Kyle. So he's saying before he's retiring at the end of the year. So he's been the water rights champion for Native Americans. And so before he leaves office, this we need him to make the settlement. Is his way of presenting this to our tribal leadership in Windorong. And he's very much in support of what Kyle is saying and does, but he's not speaking in a fashion where, hey, let's do something about this. What spiritual connection do you have with it? Let's go to the Hogan and sit down and talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go do some offerings and talk about this. How it's going to benefit the people of the Navajo Nation. Their livelihood, how it's going to benefit them. To this moment in time of this whole operation, our trust responsible party is the Department of Interior. He made that agreement with the Navajo people in 1868 when they were to return to their homeland after a 4 year of concentration camp in Fort Sumner, they made that agreement, and the government said, "Well, I'll be your trust responsibility. Uh-huh. I'll have over you." And that in that time, to this moment in time, we seem to understand that there are that's not being carried out. The Department of Interior seems to have a more trust responsible party for the state of Arizona than for the Navajo Nation that we have a law of the land treaty with. And so if you look at the population of the state of Arizona, 1940, there's a 500,000 people in the state of Arizona. 1980, there's 1.5 million people. Mm. Today, there's 6 million people in the state of Arizona. It's wow. expanded with no cap. And they're, you know, that's who we're providing our coal and our power and our waters to.
Right.
So it's that continuation of that population expansion.
So it's going to be up for a vote at the end of May. Are there, I don't know how big the Arizona congressional delegation is. It must be fairly big, having 6 million people. Are there members of Congress who are advocating for the Navajo and, you know, having some access to the water, which would dramatically improve their economy? Or is it a united front, Democrats and Republicans, who are interested in, shutting out the Navajo permanently? Where is the congressional delegation?
Well, we have, I know Senator, or not Senator, Congressman Kosar put a hearing together in May, and Republicans, the House and Energy, they did a congressional hearing, and they brought in just the supporters of Navajo Generating Station. They were to have a ruling by EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, right. to have Navajo Generating Station and Four Corners Generating Station to put SCRs, selective catalytic reduction emission control, on their scrubbers. But through those delays, the ruling has not come out for Navajo Generating Station. But Senator Kosar, I remember, did a hearing in which we were at the hearing and gave our testimonies on behalf of our people. And so, but in those hearings, I know that there's a pro-Republican that we're speaking to. They brought in the president of Navajo Nation, chairman of the Hopi tribe, and then the governor of Gila River, all in support of the Navajo Generating Station, saying that if the emission control were placed on the Navajo Generating Station, it's going to be too expensive, so it's going to shut down the Navajo Generating Station. It's going to impact the people, the economy of the Navajo and Hopi tribe. So we know that those meetings have taken place, but there seems to be a congressional support for this operation. And I remember there's a farmer that was presented at the test. He did a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Tempe. That he was worried about his water rates going up $16. They're only paying the testimony. He said they're paying $41 per acre foot for that water. How can a farmer and that population down there that have used up their groundwater to a point where there's earth fissures, earth subsidence, pay for water at $41 per acre foot? How is it possible? How can they have water to pay for that amount? And yet we have to go to our community wells here in Pinon, Forest Lake, and Hard Rock. We pay at one penny per gallon. If you add that to an acre foot of water, which is 325,821 gallons, that's $3,258. That's how much we're paying. Then if you go closer to Navajo Generating Station, Kaibato, Arizona, those community people is paying 4 cents per gallon. And that's $13,000 per acre foot. Now, where is the legislators? Yes, that's our question. If we want to talk about human rights, where is it? Where is the level playing field? Where is it? We've been providing, subsidizing everything that the Arizona has had.
So it's
at right now.
Yeah.
And if you want to look at the children education, there's 54 higher institutions all in the state of Southern Arizona. All we have is a junior college. That was one of the compromise that was placed on Navajo Council in 69, that Navajo Generating Station was going to give, Department of Interior was going to give, at that time, Navajo Community College $25,000 a year for 5 years. So there could be a college.
And
there could be jobs for Navajo people. They were going to put the Navajo Generating Station on the Utah side, and then they said if we put it on the Navajo side, it will provide jobs for you people. So those were the compromise that was the reason why the generating station was put on this Navajo side.
And has
so
it...
the congressional people is in support of the inexpensive power in water.
Right. Sounds like you have a relative there, a young relative. So has the benefit to the Navajo come through as promised? The money for the schools and jobs, the agreement to provide some benefits for locating on the Navajo side, has that indeed happened? Has it come to pass? Have they provided money for colleges and helped create some jobs there?
I mean, it provides jobs of 5,000, maybe 500 people here at the power plant, and then 500 people there at the mining site, the mm-hmm. mining operation, in which there's no taxes that is placed on this Salt River project.
No.
So they don't pay taxes, and so there's only the royalty, the price of the coal and the water, that's as a royalty that's given to the central government of Winder Rock, and then of course Hopi. So, but beyond that, there's no net benefit to this.
Uh-huh. And there's with water, it could help quite a bit, I imagine, in terms of agriculture and livestock. What about the wider population of Arizona? Are they concerned about this? Have they gotten? Is there public concern about this that's going on?
Well, I think that corporate Arizona has a good hold on their media.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as if you go down to Phoenix, you know, there's nothing that talks, you know, about our people disparity up here. Mm. Even though we provide them the power and the water for all these years, you know, they continue to praise Salt River Project for their inexpensive electricity and water.
So what happens now? The decision making happens by the end of May, and there's, I guess, some public hearings that are going to happen. Are people protesting about this? What do you foresee in the next few weeks with regard to this?
Well, when Senator Kyle McCain were in Tuba City, Arizona, which is located western part of the Navajo Reservation, and he met with elected leaders of Navajo and of Hopi,
uh-huh.
and it was done behind closed doors. And there was a public outcry that this bill, this settlement agreement, should not continue. And that's the response that our people are given into this initiative. So there is going to be, I know of some forum that's going to be taking place, about seven public forum community meetings taking place.
And that will have some degree of input. Well, a lot of people are listening who are not in Arizona, not in Navajo Nation right now. Are there things that people can do from the rest of the country who might be concerned about preservation of Aboriginal rights to the Little Colorado River and to preserving the aquifer? Are there ways that people can take action through the internet?
Internet seems to be a good source, yes. And then we've even came across a communication that was taking place by our water rights attorney of Window Rock, our own Navajo water rights attorney, and the PR person of Navajo Generating Station. So there's something that has been taking place with the Navajo Generating Station and Window Rock Department of Justice, telling our radio station not to publicize what they're doing and what's happening. Even to a point to talk of our public hearings and our information.
Oh.
So that has been useful as far as the internet providing information for our people.
Are there particular websites that you can point people to if they want to, you know, apply some pressure and take some action?
Yes, Black Mesa Water Coalition is we work with them. They have a good website, and they'll have information. And then Dene Water Rights is another location. So I know of that right now.
What was that second one? If you could perhaps spell that out.
Dene Water Rights.
All right. Well, Marshall Johnson, thank you so much. Very interesting how this this story seems to just go on and on and on. And certainly a lot of people wish you very good luck with that. Thank you so much for your time. And my best regards to your young friend there. Is that your child or grandchild or something?
Yes. That's who we're speaking of, is our children. And, of course, their children and their grandchildren.
Yes.
That's how far we're looking at this. I mean, we're talking a couple of wells. And to waiver all our rights, we have a chance to market and lease these money, so we to lease these waters, so we can have economic development with it. And so, there's other areas that could be. There's ways that we could manage our water, and instead of just doing a settlement. And so, that's who we're speaking and talking for.
Right.
And basically, that's the mission statement that they're giving us when they look us in the eye and when they ask for water.
Hmm.
So it's very, very much an important matter. Thank you for taking this up for us.
Well, thank you. And we'll go out with a little bit of some native Navajo music. Thanks for listening. Love to hear from you. Bert@BertCohen.com.
Ayo chonegu, ape hachonegu, yanahe.